This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Have you ever noticed how we adjust the way we speak depending on our social situation?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey!
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, girl.
What's going down with you? Linguists call it code switching. It was originally used for people who would switch between two different languages, like I do at home, between English and Arabic. But the term has evolved to embrace the tone, accents, and inflections we use when talking to anyone. Many of us do it. Even our president does it. Here's a speech from Obama at the 2009 NAACP convention.
We need to go back to the time, back to the day when parents saw somebody, saw some kid fooling around. And it wasn't your child, but they'll whoop you anyway.
Although the crowd cheered the president on that day, not everyone embraced his code switching. Fox News surely didn't appreciate it.
But what was going on with the accent that he was affecting? I thought that was just weird.
How do our voices define us? In search of some answers, KALW's Leela Day decided to talk this one out. Growing up, I heard plenty of jokes about the way I spoke.
Listen to how you talk, like a white girl. Who do you think he is?
You sound white when you're on the phone.
But I couldn't help the way I sounded. It's a default voice, just how I speak. You see, where I grew up in Las Vegas, there were two types of black kids in school. Those who hung out only with other black kids, and those who bounced back and forth between black and non-black friends. I was in the second group. And with all that switching back and forth, my voice switched too. And it still does. Like when I'm on the phone with my sister.
Girl, you better ask somebody. I do not know what you are talking about.
It's not something I'm always conscious of. Sometimes it just sort of happens.
Yeah, he came in looking all crazy, acting all crazy, talking all crazy. I was like, uh-uh, you better back off.
Now, as an adult, I have fun with it.
You all up in my Kool-Aid, you don't even know the flavor.
But as a kid, it wasn't always this way. Finding my voice was, well, just painful. At school, being told I sounded white meant only one thing. I wouldn't be eating my corn dog and tater tots at the black kids' lunch table. But that was then. Nowadays, in some schools, corn dogs and tater tots have been replaced with tofu dogs and a green salad. It got me wondering if the conversation among teens may have changed, too. So I went to a place where I thought I might find some black teens who've been accused of talking white. The skate park.
Black people have told me I talk white before. Like, I don't know, like, what it means to, like, talk white or talk black.
Yeah. They been saying I talk white. I get pissed off. They only do it because my mom's white, you know, so I have to speak respectable. And they think since I'm black, I have to act ghetto and be stupid.
I guess talking white would be, like, I don't know. Like, I want to say, like, speaking proper, I guess. Like how most white people talk or most normal people talk, you know?
This conversation got me interested in talking to someone whose job depends on his voice.
I'm Joshua Johnson. I'm the morning newscaster for KQED Public Radio.
Johnson's been in radio for years. He's African-American, and he sounds pretty similar when he's on the air.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Joshua Johnson.
And when he's talking with me in person.
Is this your radio voice?
This is my voice.
This is your voice. So is your
people ask me that a lot. They're like, do your radio voice. I'm like, have we not been talking for 15 minutes? This is it. You know, my goal on the radio is to sound like me. I don't want to sound like the news anchor who is enunciating the headlines at you.
But Johnson says he has experienced surprise reactions when people realize he's black.
We did a show about race and diversity in Silicon Valley. And somewhere in the show I mentioned that I'm African American. I forget what the context was, but somewhere in the show I mentioned it. And I got an email from a listener who basically wrote, I never would have guessed that you were black.
Johnson says he doesn't let these reactions about his race really bother him. Like me, he's heard it all. The patronizing tone. You're so articulate. You speak so well. But Johnson thinks this ignorance can also be a lesson in disguise, to show us assumptions we often make about race.
Did you respond to that?
I did. I told him it was a very good thing that you as a white person have to stop looking at me as a black person as other and presume that I sound like everybody on BET.
I ask Johnson if he'd ever been accused of sounding white when he was growing up. He tells me that he not only heard the accusation, but he grew up with black adults insinuating that it was preferable. To sound white was to sound high quality.
In my hometown of West Palm Beach, Florida, I remember the choir director, Ms. Richardson, said, "I want you to sound so good that if I put you on stage behind a curtain and had you sing to the audience, everyone would swear you were white."
To sound professionally marketable or quote-unquote proper, it's the goal most parents and teachers set out for kids. I mean, saying the word ain't in my house would warrant a side glare from mom that was just as bad as a spanking. Johnson says he was very aware of this as a child.
I always knew there was something blessed and something cursed about the way I spoke. I knew that it would open doors for me, and I knew that none of my friends was behind those doors.
But what is it about the fear of those doors closing because of the way we sound? There's actually a name for it. It's called linguistic profiling, a term coined by Professor John Baugh, a PhD at Stanford University. He did a study where he selected 5 racially diverse cities in the Bay Area to inquire about housing for rent. First, he called using an African-American accent.
Yes, my name is Michael Davis. I was calling to see if you might have any houses for rent that might be available.
Then he called again, this time with a Latino accent.
Hello, this is Juan Ramirez. I'm calling about the apartment you have advertised in the paper.
With these accents, Ball was told nothing was available. But when he switched to what he called a neutral accent, he was often invited to see the properties. I was linguistically profiled recently. I was working on a story that involved a support group for African Americans. Many of them had a criminal record. At first, they seemed very open to being interviewed, but then they turned cold. Days turned into weeks of messages without a return phone call. When we finally met, one of the coordinators laughed. "I would have gotten back to you sooner if I would have known you were black." And although we both laughed together about her comment, I had a moment of deflation, like eating that corn dog alone at lunch. But as for my voice, whether it works to my advantage or not, it's just the one I got. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.